here's news that shouldn't be big news, but it always comes with some controversy. So Shedeur Sanders is going to wear number 12. Now, Stu, just without, let's say maybe you don't know the story, even if you do. If you see that Shedeur Sanders wearing 12, so what, right? Not a big deal.
Not a big deal.
Like, who gives a bleep?
It's a normal quarterback number, yeah.
Why is Zach talking about this? So, I'm a Shedeur fan. I'm not as big of a Shedeur Sanders fan as Mel Kiper, but I'm a big Shedeur Sanders fan. I think it was ridiculous that he fell to the fifth round. Even with people telling me, right, people that I trust, people that I know, people that wouldn't lie to me, that his interviews were horrible. He didn't take the pre-draft process seriously, and he came off as unlikable. Here's my message to Shedeur. Have your camp lay low. Right now, I don't got to hear anything about Shedeur Sanders. I think Shedeur Sanders could be a very good quarterback in the NFL. I think Shedeur Sanders this year should be starting games for the Cleveland Browns. But you don't have to make everything a story. Now, I read this online that Shedeur Sanders, you know, has a guy by the name of Boogie Knight who is in charge of Shador's social media. Boogie Knight, he went on Instagram and he did a story. There's no way the Cleveland Browns should have gave number two to anyone else, especially to a wide receiver who hasn't worn number two before in his career. But we knew that was coming, so we ain't flinching about it. It was expected. Take it, smile, then make it legendary. Keep going. I understand Colorado retired Shedeur Sanders number two. I actually vehemently defended Colorado's decision to defend the number two and was a big fan of it. And I thought all these people, the Samthers of the world, the Hickeys of the world, right, that work here at the network, that were freaking out, losing their mind over this jersey retirement, had a lot of fake outrage. Colorado retiring your number is one thing. The Cleveland Browns giving out number two to someone else and not you, you got no say over that. You got no control over that. And quite frankly, even though I think Shedeur Sanders is better than where he was drafted in the fifth round, the reality is, you're a fifth-round pick. I don't think there's been a fifth-round pick in the history of the NFL that has ever been able to dictate what jersey number that they've been able to select. Now, to be fair, DeAndre Carter, he's not this sensational player. He was undrafted back in 2015. But if the Browns want to give number two out to DeAndre Carter, if he wanted that, Shedeur, you really have no leg to stand on here. And this could be the problem with Shedeur Sanders. I think Shedeur is a good kid. I think Shedeur is a good player. But I think it's maybe a good idea to surround yourself with some people that haven't always been in your corner. Because fair or not, Shedeur Sanders needs the image reshaped a little bit. Because even though I've been a supporter of Shedeur, I believe in Shedeur, and I think sometimes Shedeur gets mischaracterized, the NFL told you, we're not believing in what Shador's been doing. We're not believing in Shedeur and his camp. So when you fall to the fifth round and you have Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, who, let's be real, Jimmy Haslam made the pick. I'll take that to my grave. But when you have Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry both on the draft phone call say, hey, time to put your head down, time to put in the work, I don't think we need a distraction, or I don't think we need a story. And I know you can't control everybody in your circle. Like, for example, Micah Parsons' brother says stupid things, right? In this case, your social media manager, one of the social media guys, said a stupid thing. But the way that Boogie Knight views Shedeur is not the way the NFL and not the way that the Cleveland Browns even view Shedeur right now. So I understand using things as motivation. You could use that as motivation behind the scenes. You could feel disrespected behind the scenes, but publicly, I would not have one of my social media guys be posting, there's no way the Cleveland Browns should have gave number two to anyone else, especially to a wide receiver who haven't worn number two before in his career. But we knew that was coming, so we ain't flinching about it. It was expected. Take it, smile, then make it legendary. Keep growing. It would kind of be like if I got passed over for a job. Like, let's just try to do something we all can relate to. And it was obvious, like, let's say I should have got the job. And management went with somebody else. Let's just throw this out there. And then someone in my circle got on Instagram and said, it's a joke that Zach didn't get this job. It's a joke that management couldn't see Zach in this light. But we'll learn from it. We'll make it legendary. Keep going. I would call that person up and I would say, I appreciate your words. You're in my camp, though. Have those words done in private, in silence, and we don't need the entire world to see it. And I think that's going to be a big problem for Shador, because this is a guy that has grown up with a camera in his face. This is a guy that is a content machine. This is a guy who I think he's probably unintentionally polarizing, because I don't think he does a lot of things that make me say, oh, I hate Shador Sanders. I like Shador. But because of who his father is, I think it's either you love or you can't stand Shador Sanders. I don't think there's a lot of people right in the middle. So when you become a fifth-round pick, fifth-round picks don't have camera crews following them. And I get it, right? The NFL's going to profit off his likability. And look how many posts the NFL made on their Instagram about Shador when he got drafted. So fifth-round picks, though, and I know he's not a traditional fifth-round pick, like, they don't have these social media teams constantly posting about them. They don't continuously put out these videos. Like, when Shador got drafted in the fifth round, they had, like, three cameras around him. So my advice to Shador, and I'm a Shador guy. I want to see him succeed. Lay low a little bit. I don't need one of your social media guys saying you got screwed over and making not getting the number two this big deal, that the fact that you got number 12. Because the reality of the situation is, as a fifth round pick, you're expendable. So if you become a distraction right now as a backup quarterback, goodbye. They get rid of you. Just like that. So I think that this is very unnecessary. And my concern about Shador isn't the talent. It's not Shador Sanders the person. It's everyone around you is telling you one thing. You need to be humbled by this experience. You need to find a way to get better. You need to put your head down. And I'm not saying you can't have a brand. I'm not saying you can't be in the news. But there's certain things that don't need to be in the news. And Boogie Knight, your social media guy, bitching about not getting the number two and how the Browns screwed him over. Like, it's unnecessary. I hate to break this news to Shador Sanders and his camp. You're not at Colorado anymore where you get to run the show. You're in Cleveland. You're an employee of the Cleveland Browns. And you're not an employee that's untouchable. And you haven't earned anything yet. You haven't done anything yet in the NFL. So you saying, we knew this was coming. We're not flinching about it. It was expected. Take it, smile, then make it legendary. Why are you getting so worked up over a number? And this idea that you're not flinching over it, you're clearly upset about it. And I will say one more thing to Shador. The legendary stuff's got to stop. It was sad, right? That was, we're going to be legendary, legendary, legendary. When he didn't go in the first round and he ended that talk to his friends and family, legendary. It sounded so sad because he was hurt. He should be hurt. And then he fell out of the second and third round of day two. And then when he goes in the fifth round pick, he's walking around going, legendary, legendary, legend. Okay. Go make it legendary. I want you to be legendary. It's awesome for us. It's awesome for the NFL if you reach your potential. But not everything needs to be done for the camera. And not everything needs to be used as, oh, this is a slight. Like, what slight is this, Cleveland? They gave you number 12. They didn't give you number 2. They gave number 2 to, yes, a no-name, but someone who has been in the NFL since 2015. I've never heard of a fifth-round pick that's been able to walk in and be like, I need number 2. I get number 2. Oh, you don't give me number 2. You're screwing me over. Never heard of that. And I would tell Boogie Knight, you know, lay low a little bit. Because I don't think you're doing Shedeur Sanders any favors right now. Because I know how this works. People are looking to attack Shedeur. People are looking to say, see, told you so, distraction. And a number shouldn't be a distraction. A number shouldn't be 12 minutes. That's pretty good by me. Got the number 12. He spent 12 minutes on this. On a national radio show. It just shouldn't be. Alrighty, let's get back to the biggest story of the day. Which, I'll go around the room here. If you had to describe, just describe, the George Pickens trade. Going from the Steelers to the Cowboys. If you had to describe it in a few words, your feelings on it. Stu, how would you describe the George Pickens trade? With the Steelers saying the juice ain't worth the squeeze anymore, and they send them to the drama Dallas choking Cowboys, who finally elected to be selectively aggressive.
I would say kind of pointless. I think for the Cowboys' sake, I don't think this makes them a contender. Might even not make them a playoff team.
Mm-hmm.
And then for the Steelers, like, okay, I understand he's a bit of a headache. You want to get him away. But he's in his last year. I just don't know what their plan is. I don't understand why you don't keep him for one more year. It's not like you got like this great haul for him. So I think for both, it's just kind of pointless.
Samter, how would you describe it?
Weird timing. Like, honestly, just weird timing. I'm fine with the trade. I'm fine with the Steelers making the move and getting rid of Pickens. I'm fine with the Cowboys having to add a second receiver. But to do it after the draft and before Rodgers makes his decision, there's a lot of questions here. Because now, okay, what are they doing at quarterback? Mm-hmm. And if Rodgers does come in, who's his number 2 wide receiver? They already got rid of their top running back in Najee Harris. So there's a lot of questions from that side of it. And from the Cowboys, they went into the draft, and maybe they knew this trade was coming. They went into the draft. They didn't really look at receivers in the draft. And Jerry Jones talked about, you know, maybe things are coming down the road. Maybe they knew they were making this deal. But if they did, then why are they doing it now? It just doesn't make any sense to me. The Steelers didn't fill in the position. They're getting draft picks for next year. So if you bring Rodgers in, it's not going to help the team this year. It just doesn't make sense for short term.
And some of these draft picks are 2027 too. So it's like, whatever. Here's the thing. Let's look at it from the Steelers' perspective. Mike Tomlin did not want to have to coach George Pickens anymore. I think why a deal didn't go down at the draft is they tried to get a second round pick. Once they didn't get a second round pick, they said, all right, let's have the third round come and go. And then after that, we'll try to see if maybe we could work some magic after the draft to get some conditions to make a 3 turn into 2. Obviously, they were unsuccessful in doing that. Also, I don't know if this is true, but Andrew Filippone, who I like and does the afternoon show in Pittsburgh, he was on with Maggie and Perloff this morning. And Andrew Filippone said this. I don't think Aaron Rodgers wanted to play with George Pickens. Now, I don't know if that's true. I don't know what information Pony was given that made him say that, but that's Andrew Filippone saying it. So take it for what it's worth. But if you already had a coach who didn't want Pickens, and then the quarterback didn't want Pickens, those are two pretty powerful people, which is kind of funny because the quarterback is not even on the team yet. But could that have played a factor? I guess it's plausible. I just think this was not a matter of if George Pickens was going to get traded. It was a matter of when, because Mike Tomlin was donezo with him. So that's the Steelers side of it. Now, I could understand the other part of it. If you're Pittsburgh, you basically get back a third-round pick. Why not just have him play one more year and you basically get a compensatory pick if he walks, or maybe he grows up and then you give him a contract? I think the Steelers thought that he was detrimental to the locker room. I really did. And that his talent isn't what he thinks he is. And we're not going to put up with it. But on the other side for the Cowboys, it finally makes them in the news for a positive reason. Because last year they said they were going to be all in. They didn't find a way to get a deal done. Did nothing last year. This year, they said they're going to be selectively aggressive. They haven't been aggressive at all this offseason. This is them finally being aggressive. And it gives you a year of CeeDee Lamb and Pickens, and maybe a year from now, Jerry Jones, who loves drama over winning, says, oh, I like the drama of George Pickens. George Pickens had another year. You know, I'll be the one that gives him a four-year contract. But overall, the way I describe this, you have the Cowboys driving, and you have the Steelers driving. And they're driving. And they get inside a neighborhood. And they keep on wanting to go north, both these teams. Maybe that, you know, they want to go to San Francisco, I believe is where the Super Bowl is this year. And they're driving, and they're driving, and they're driving. But they make a wrong turn. They go through a neighborhood, and they see a dead-end sign. Now, maybe they're driving together. Maybe George Pickens gets out of the car and says, I'm going to go drive with the Dallas Cowboys instead of the Pittsburgh Steelers. But if you're still driving straight, you're not going anywhere. And that's where the Steelers and the Cowboys are right now. They're driving. They're efficiently driving. But they're not getting to that destination. Because for years, the Steelers used to be an organization that we judge them, do you got Super Bowls? We judge them, are you competing for the Super Bowl? They got six of them. The Dallas Cowboys, for a long time, Super Bowl, Super Bowl, Super Bowl, America's team. Now, these two ones, proud franchises, I think the Steelers are still viewed in a very positive light. I still think we give the Steelers the benefit of the doubt. The Cowboys, they make all this money, but our belief in them actually being great, that benefit of the doubt is gonzo. It's done. It's finished. When you haven't got to a Super Bowl and NFC Championship game since 1995 that season. The Steelers, Mike Tomlin's a good coach. If he got fired tomorrow, he'd have a job in a second. But when you go through eight seasons in Pittsburgh, not winning a playoff game, that's a bad job. So both these teams made moves today. The Steelers could still get to the playoffs. The Cowboys could still get to the playoffs. But are either actually getting closer to your destination of hoisting another Lombardi trophy? And I'll give you that answer. Heck no. These teams are nowhere close. They're good. They're not very good. They're good. They're not great. And you look at teams like the Steelers, the Cowboys, I think the Dolphins are also there. They're stuck. And that's probably the worst position you could be in the NFL. Where you have enough talent, where you could maybe just get in the playoffs or just miss it. But you aren't great enough or good enough to get to a Super Bowl or get to a conference championship game. But you're also not bad enough where you could go get a young quarterback in the draft. Like a team like the Steelers need. Now the Dolphins already paid Tua and the Cowboys already paid Dak. And that's a problem. Like, people ask me right now, I'm a Patriot fan. Won six Super Bowls. You may have heard that from time to time. Last year, I was not happy with the team. This year, do I expect the Patriots to be great? No. But the Patriots at least being bad, I could do a proper rebuild now with Mike Vrabel. Where my timeline is now different. It's year one, wash. Year two, get better. Year three, go be a contender. And after year three, if they're not in contending status, then I could start to rip them and I could start to say this ain't working. But teams like the Steelers and teams like the Cowboys and teams like the Dolphins right now, there's not this goal of eventually rebuilding where you get back to championship status. Because you're not great and you're not bad enough where the pressure's kind of off and you could get a few years to just muck it up and get a lot of guys in and build that team chemistry and build something. But because you go get your 9-10 wins a year, everyone's like, oh yeah, they're fine. Yeah, yeah, they're there. But you're just stuck in the middle. I'd rather be down and out with a chance to only go up, or I'd rather be in the penthouse. I don't want to be stuck on the 10th floor and in a room where I'm like, oh, I'm close to taking the elevator up to the penthouse. I'm also close to going down to the lobby. I don't want to be stuck in the middle. I either want to be great or I want to be bad enough so I have the tools and the resources to build it back up and become great. I know what Stu's saying. Oh, my team's been bad for a long time. They haven't been able to build it back up. Oh, Stu, I can't help you with your Raiders. I apologize on that. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. It is Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. We will take a timeout. We'll do a Take 5 Wednesday next.
The football season might be over.
What, over? Did you say over? Nothing is over until we decide it is.
But don't you worry. There are still rankings to be made. So get ready as Zach gives you his top five in this week's special edition of Take 5 Wednesday.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff.
All righty, here's the topic today. Off the drama Dallas choking Cowboys and the Pittsburgh Steelers making a trade for George Pickens. Who are the five best wide receiver duos in the NFL? Now, Stu, I always listen to you. 1 through 5 or 5 through 1? How do you want me to read off this list? What do you want me to go with first?
I think you can go 5 to 1.
Okay. In at number 5, Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. So Mike Evans is somehow one of the more underappreciated wide receivers in NFL history. He will easily be a member of the Pro Football Hall of Fame one day. Each and every year, he gets 1,000 yards receiving, and he's won a Super Bowl. The reason why this duo isn't a little bit higher, because Chris Godwin is a phenomenal wide receiver as well, is just Godwin is coming off an injury. So I don't know when he's going to get back, and there was a chance he was going to leave this offseason, and he actually left money on the table to stay in Tampa Bay. But I go Chris Godwin and Mike Evans, or I said Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, in at number 5. And I also like that they drafted Mecca Ibuka. And I think that's a great trio in the NFL. In at number 4, Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle. Now, Waddle is a heck of a player. I think he could be a number 1 on a lot of other teams in the NFL. Tyreek Hill, though, he's a speed player, and he's coming off a year where he had injuries and he had a down season. I saw he got another wrist surgery today. So maybe you'll wonder if the cheetah started to hit his apex in the NFL, and does he start to decline a little bit, or was it a one-year wonder? But I would put Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle in at number 4. Number 3, maybe one of my favorite players in the NFL right now, Puka Nacua and Davante Adams with the LA Rams, and you got Matthew Stafford throwing the football. And here's the thing. I understand there could be a little bit of age concern with Davante Adams. This dude will have 1,000 yards easily this year out in LA if he's healthy. And Davante Adams, it wasn't that long ago we were talking about him as a top 3 wide receiver in the NFL. Now, injuries could be a concern for Puka Nacua because he gets banged up a lot, even just the last 2 seasons. But I think both those guys will both clearly reach the 1,000-yard mark and then some with how much they're going to be throwing the football. You got to get a running back there, too. In Kyren Williams. And Higbee could be, as long as he stays healthy, a good tight end option this year in fantasy. But I love that duo of Puka Nacua and Davante Adams. In at number 2, it's A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. Devontae Smith is another one of those guys, Smitty as they call him in Philadelphia, that could be a number 1 wide receiver on a lot of other teams. Skinny Batman, he's one of my favorite college players of all time. Like, don't get me wrong, I love Reggie Bush, right? You could go with Tim Tebow, Johnny Manziel, Vince Young, right? Some of these iconic college football players. Devontae Smith, to me, he caught a walk-off touchdown in overtime in a national championship game. And I don't even know if that's his career highlight in college. And if you think it is, well, he won a Heisman Trophy and another national championship on an undefeated team. So you could actually argue that maybe the walk-off touchdown national championship is his career highlight, and it's not the Heisman Trophy. Either way, it's crazy, and it's one of the great college careers that we've ever seen. And now he's a Super Bowl champion in the NFL, and A.J. Brown is a top 5 wide receiver in the National Football League. The two of those guys are the perfect complement, and guess what? Outside of this list, you look at Chris Godwin and Mike Evans, Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle, Puka Nacua, and Davante Adams. I'll give you my one in just a second. And A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, only one of these duos, both guys have a Super Bowl, right? A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. Tyreek Hill has a championship. Jaylen Waddle does not in the NFL. Davante Adams, he does not have a championship. Puka Nacua doesn't have a championship. And then at number one, T. Higgins. He could have gone to a lot of teams this year in the NFL this offseason and be a number one wide receiver. He is phenomenal. And Ja'Marr Chase is either, I'm going to say he's the second best wide receiver right now in the NFL. You can make a case he's number one. I think it's Justin Jefferson, though. So I put Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins in that number one spot, and they almost won a Super Bowl a few years ago. All they needed was their offensive line to get about a half more second of blocking on Aaron Donald, and then Ja'Marr Chase was wide open down that right sideline. So my top five wide receiver duos in the NFL, Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins one, A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. Devontae Smith out of Alabama. Always love Eli Gold, their old radio guy. Puka Nacua and Devontae Adams. Alabama. Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. Waddle, waddle, waddle like a penguin. And Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. Speak now or forever hold your peace.
Well, let's start with what we think is the best wide receiver in the NFL.
Yes.
And another very good one. Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison with the Vikings.
So Justin Jefferson is the best wide receiver in the NFL, period. It's his best duos. So the number one option, sure. Justin Jefferson has slightly Ja'Marr Chase beat out. He has A.J. Brown beat out. He has Puka Nacua beat out. He has Tyreek Hill beat out. And he has Mike Evans beat out. I look at Jordan Addison. Good wide receiver. You know, won the Biletnikoff at Pitt. Ended his college career at USC. I just think in the second part of that duo, that Jordan Addison, he's good, but he's not in the same category as a Chris Godwin, a Jalen Waddle, a Devontae Adams, a Devontae Smith, and a T. Higgins. That's the part where I just don't think Addison is there yet, where Jefferson is all the way up there on the seesaw. Addison just has to level out that seesaw a little bit, and then they'll clearly be a top five duo. They were my first duo out, and it was the one that I felt bad about it, but that's how I justify it.
And you think about 133 catches, 1,800 yards, and 19 touchdowns in 2 years for Addison. He's just 22 years old.
Yeah.
So the ceiling is there, but mm-hmm. You're right. He's probably not there yet.
Yeah, and he was good last year when Jefferson had to miss some games. He's a heck of a player, and they're going to throw the ball a ton in that offense.
Now, the newest duo, CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens.
CeeDee Lamb is probably the third best wide receiver in the NFL. I think you would go Jetta's one, Ja'Marr Chase two. Yeah, probably CeeDee Lamb three. I would say that. So CeeDee Lamb is right there. But George Pickens, he thinks he's a number one. He looks usually more like a number two. He acts like Randy Moss. He acts like Terrell Owens. And the production is not there enough where I think the juice is worth the squeeze. And look what Pittsburgh just did. Like, DK Metcalf's a very good wide receiver. They said we're going to pay DK Metcalf and trade for DK Metcalf, and we're not going to reward one of our own because they didn't think he was worth it. So that, to me, is a problem. And that's why I don't think, just like how I talk about Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison, Lamb is in that category. Jefferson's in that category. It's the second part that I just don't think is there yet. Addison is much closer to elevating that duo. I know this duo was just born. Than Pickens is. Because Pickens has all that potential. And Addison obviously could be a knucklehead off the field. You know, there's been things. But he's not a distraction when he is on the field in terms of the sideline antics. Pickens, he could really ruin a sideline and ruin a team on the field just based off the antics on the field. So,
and a new duo that we haven't quite seen on the field yet, Terry McLaurin and his new teammate Deebo Samuel in Washington.
Scary Terry. Terry McLaurin is one of my favorite players in the NFL.
It's a hell of a nickname, too.
Now, Deebo Samuel, he got some issues with me. I don't really got issues with him. But, you know, his management still hates my guts. Oh, God, get over it. Your client acted like a clown when he was on this show, and then he hung up the phone and threw his phone at his handler. Like, come on. You know, now you sit in there and you're like, oh, we can't put anyone on with Zach. And you go out of your way to, like, cancel interviews on us that, you know, you approve and then you don't. It's ridiculous, but whatever. Deebo Samuel, he's banged up. I think it's a good move by the Commanders. You know, I won't let personal feelings maybe get in the way. I thought it was a good move, but he's someone that he's so physical and he's taken a lot of hits And I just wonder how much gas he has left in the tank. And I have questions on Deebo Samuel as a number two option now in the NFL. I think it was worth it, the trade. But as a top five, 1-2 punch, McLaurin's there. Deebo, too many question marks with him.
A couple more. This might be another not quite there yet, but DJ Moore and Rome Odunze with the Bears.
DJ Moore is fantastic. Rome Odunze had a very disappointing year one.
Yeah,
I like Rome Odunze a lot. I thought he was the best wide receiver in this past in the draft class 2 years ago. And Malik Nabers is looking like right now he's the best one. I wouldn't count out, though, Marvin Harrison Jr. Brian Thomas Jr. had a phenomenal season for the Jacksonville Jaguars. But this is a big bounce back year for the Bears. I don't need them on a lot of top five lists. Go prove that you can make these lists this year. They haven't proven it yet.
And how about Amon-Ra St. Brown, Jameson Williams?
Amon-Ra St. Brown is phenomenal. He is. Jameson Williams, too much of a knucklehead for me, if I'm just being honest. And I don't think he's one of those guys, the juice isn't worth the squeeze. And I think he's also one of those guys, another guy that was rumored maybe they would move off him in the draft. And that deal hasn't happened yet. I don't think it's that far behind.
No, and there was a team that I didn't even think about putting on there because I couldn't think of their wide receiver two until I just popped into my head.
Was there a glaring omission?
Well, not glaring, but you know, you mentioned Brian Thomas Jr., and I'm like, oh, who's their number two? Travis Hunter. Now, obviously, we don't know, but Brian Thomas Jr. and Travis Hunter could be and become one of the, if not the best, wide receiver duos in the league.
Yeah, can you play a down in the NFL, and can we see how he's going to be used first?
I get it. I'm just saying, keep your eye out under the radar target.
We could be sitting here doing a segment. It's not a crazy thought, but we could be doing a segment, and we could be, I don't know, we'd be like Pat Boyle ranking appetizers. And the next thing you know, Santa would be like, hey, you know, what do you think Colorado's football program, a Coach Prime and Shador Sanders and Travis, what do you think they eat for appetizers? There's always a way that we find a way to work Colorado, Dion, Coach Prime, let me be respectful, Shador Sanders and Travis Hunter into the conversation. All righty, we'll take a time out. It is Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. We got two games in the association tonight. How do I think they're going to play out? I'll give you that answer on the other side. Update time first. By the way, is everything okay, Ack?
What do you mean?
Yesterday, you and Samter were fighting. Oh, yeah, it got ugly.
No, I'm good. I wasn't upset. You know, if he can't take it, the hell with him. That's, you know, Samter number three.
Whoa!
You know,
well, you.
We were okay until that comment.
Well, I'm just saying.
There are 100 Samters. One of them's not going to be happy. That's all I'm saying, you know?
Ack yesterday, for people if you weren't listening, we got into this debate. One Zach Gelber, 100 Samters, who would win? Ack, who originally was praising Samter.
I'm still praising him. I love him.
Then just took a sledgehammer right to Samter. You just obliterated him yesterday.
I did? I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying. Samter stormed out of the studio. He was like, bleep that guy. I'm done with that.
I'm not above saying I'm sorry.
I'm just making sure.
I could have had another line there, but I didn't want to go there. I didn't want to joke. Everybody gets a little sensitive.
Wait. Yeah. I don't think Santa gets sensitive.
No. Well, I was going to say I'm not above saying I'm sorry. I'm above Santa, but I'm not above I can't. You know, everybody wanted to hear it, so I went there. I'm sorry. See, again, I apologize.
Yeah. This relationship is hanging on by a thread.
Oh, I was going to say there was some low-hanging fruit there.
See, I didn't say that.
Sam can reach it.
I don't want to get blamed. I don't want to be the bad guy here. You know, I'm just saying. I think there are 100 Samters is a segment in the making in some way.
It could be a good show.
Yeah, it'll be a new podcast, 100 Samters.
It could be a good show.
Me arguing against 99 versions of myself.
You know, I think you missed the boat on the overnight show. Imagine if you pitched 100 Samters to management.
Get 100, pay one.
Exactly.
And I think they would take that idea.
Fits right in.
We could get Samters produce. He could run the board. He could do the updates. He could be the host. He could be the co-host. 100 Samters.
I could be my own guest.
Yeah, you could do the podcast as well. Do the YouTube stream.
Calling in on line one is Mike Samter. Mike Samter, what's going on?
Could you imagine the reaction here? By everyone going for the overnights, if they gave 100 Samters the overnight job.
There you go.
I'd like to be a fly on the wall for some of those conversations.
You do know the one Paul Nanos story, right?
Paul Nanos, who did the weekend overnights right before me.
Well, Paul Nanos, I'll just be quick with it. Paul Nanos worked with me at WTEM in Washington. Yeah. They gave him the weekend overnight job in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
But it came with a catch. Paul Nanos had to do everything.
Oh, my God.
And that is in the days when we didn't have computerized commercials.
Sure.
Where you had to pull each spot and load it into the cart rack manually.
To load it up with tapes.
So they gave Paul Nanos a headset mic with a wire that stretched long enough to get out around the studio so that he could pull each spot from the cart rack and load it manually into the cart machine. And he had to screen the calls during the commercial breaks. And
sell the advertisements.
Yes.
Jeez.
So thankfully there were updates on tape, and he would just tell the anchor, make sure it's a long update.
Are you a big horse racing guy?
I don't know anything about it.
Okay. So Paul Nanos used to do this bit. Do you think the horse knows he's in a race? Do you
somebody else I heard say that the other day. I don't remember who, but I heard this conversation, and
I think it was on our show. We had this
probably
conversation.
That's probably where I heard it. I know I heard it somewhere.
There's 100 acts basically working here. Jobs Act has.
So, I do to a degree.
Okay.
So because when the jockey's giving you the whip, you gotta. I mean, it's like we're not walking around the park here. Buddy, go easy there, will you? Yeah. You know. So I think I would say yes.
I think the horse knows he's in a race. Mm. I don't think he knows the magnitude of the race.
Yes, I would say that.
But then when there starts to be like a lot of bam chicken wham wham time after he wins a Kentucky Derby, or the Triple Crown, I know won't happen this year, then I think he goes,
I think the horse is talking around the stable, oh, that guy can't win a big race.
Yeah.
He's got no heart.
He can't get over the hump.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't give that horse any carrots. All right, we're coming on back. It is Zach Gelb Show. Update time here, Zach.